Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. I am your host, the founder of Brave Parenting, Kelly Newcomb. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about Roblox. We have not talked about Roblox in quite some time, and well, I think it's about overdue. You may have seen Roblox in some headlines lately. Maybe you're keeping up, but if you're not, I totally get it. I'm going to explain what's going on with Roblox. I'm going to give you just an overview in case you don't know what Roblox is or you've heard of it, but you don't know the ins and outs. And I'm going to explain kind of what Roblox's design is and the reason why it's antithetical to the biblical worldview. And now you can probably guess as I go through all of this what my end recommendation is going to be. It, of course, is that I'm not going to recommend Roblox, but you still need to listen because your kids are going to want to be on Roblox. There are so many. There's over 100 million users a day on Roblox. So the chances that your kids and their peers are going to be on Roblox is going to make your child want to be on there as well. So you need to know what is going on with this app so that you can explain to them why it is that as Christians and as really just wise, discerning parents, you are not going to allow that app. So we need to know what's going on, why it's dangerous. So buckle up. We're going to drive full speed ahead into this messed up world of Roblox. Now let's start with the overview. What is Roblox? It is a global platform hosting user-generated content such as games. Now, as of the second quarter of 2025, they report, I just mentioned this number, having 111.8 million daily active users. So over 111 million people are on this app every single day engaged. And they claim 27.4 billion engagement hours. Now, they've also been accused of overinflating their numbers, so maybe we have to take that with a grain of salt. Now, Roblox is not just a single game, but it is a host to millions of, as I said, user-generated experiences is what they call them. More than just playing together, users on Roblox have long been able to communicate through open chats and direct messaging. These in-game conversations have always been a key component of Roblox. Now, players start on Roblox by creating an avatar, and then they can explore countless genres of experiences, as they call them, whether that be racing or role play, horror, shooting, survival, fashion. They can do any of that stuff, plus more. And they can also socialize in these sort of open lobbies. Now, the platform also has its own in-game economy and currency called Robux. In 2024, the company generated approximately $3.6 billion in revenue from this Robux. Now, let it be noted, they do have to pay their content developers from this revenue, but we'll get more into the economy and their virtual economy in the next episode that I'm going to do. So hold on to that for them. But let me explain what Roblox means by the word experience. Now, an experience in Roblox is any type of user-generated virtual world where people can socialize, play, or explore. That's kind of their own definition. Now, that means it could be a game, it could be a virtual concert, or even a commercial where the users are interacting with a marketing campaign and product showcases, right? So everything now on Roblox is an experience. They don't call it games anymore. And this change in their language actually occurred in 2021. Now, Roblox intentionally changed that term game into experience. Now, some reasoning, you know, it's been claimed that it was an attempt to circumvent the App Store restrictions that categorize experiences differently than traditional games. This was like related to some of the same legal issues that led to the video game Fortnite being banned from the App Store for so many years. Now, others claim that this change in language from game to experience is just representative of their vision of the metaverse. which I think is actually likely true, right? The metaverse is, in this sense, this home for those who'd rather live like in the virtual world than in reality. And we know like a game comes to an end, but an experience, right? That sounds much more like authentic living and real life, right? An experience is something that you can talk about and share much more than you might say a game. Now, although Roblox started in 2006, almost 20 years ago, it has faced a massive amount of scrutiny, especially over the last 5 years, primarily around child safety, moderation, and monetization practices. Of course, Roblox exploded in 2020 with the COVID lockdowns. Kids got onto this app more than ever before. And so, of course, in the past 5 years, this is why we see so much of the scrutiny. Now, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they report that Roblox has self-reported to them over 24,000 cases of suspected child exploitation on their platform. Did you get that? That's 24,000 times that Roblox has found suspected exploitation on its own platform and voluntarily reported that to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Now, the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, which the NCOSE, we've talked about that a lot on the podcast before, they have what they call a Dirty Dozen list. It's like the top 12 entities or organizations, companies that are contributing to sexual exploitation. Well, on their Dirty Dozen list of 2024 was Roblox. They reported many instances, but one of the reasons they gave was a case of an 11-year-old girl who was kidnapped by a predator who she played games with on Roblox. There was also a 13-year-old boy who was kidnapped and sexually assaulted. But a lot of the cases aren't known or aren't as overt. There's evidence that children's avatars have been raped or involved in sex games within the platform. Their avatars can enter into strip clubs or bedroom and bathroom simulators and all that other garbage that kids, right, as young as five should never have access to either intentionally find or just stumble upon on accident. Well, also, in October 2024, Hindenburg Research released a report referring to Roblox as a, quote, pedophile hellscape for kids. The research organization identified 38 Roblox groups, one of which had over 103,000 members that were openly trading child sex abuse material, and they were soliciting acts from minors. They also found sexual abuse-themed experiences, which were accessible from a child account, and many of which were centered on convicted sex offenders like Jeffrey Epstein or P. Diddy. So all of these experiences were created by other users and all really for the sense of sexually exploiting children. Now there has been over 300 cases of alleged child exploitation linked to Roblox in California, where they are based. 300 legal cases. And now, as of just this past week at the time of my recording, the Attorney General of Louisiana has filed a lawsuit against Roblox, claiming they have failed to adequately protect minors from harmful content and predators. According to a Wired magazine article that came out on August 18th, titled, "Is Roblox Getting Worse?" there is a group of law firms from across the U.S. that is looking to, quote, file a flood of lawsuits in the coming months for clients who accuse the platform of allegedly facilitating sexual exploitation and grooming of their kids, end quote. One of the attorneys that was cited in this Wired article states that we could be seeing over 1,000 lawsuits filed, that his firm alone has 300 cases. So we also saw this month of August 2025, that Roblox has been in the news because they banned an account of a popular 22-year-old YouTuber named Michael Schlepp. According to Schlepp's YouTube channel, he was on Roblox at the age 11 and was also sexually exploited, groomed by someone on the platform. So as he grew up, he ended up turning his YouTube channel which now has 1.5 million followers, into a showcase of the predatory activity happening on Roblox. So now he's kind of become like this sort of pedophile hunter, and he claims that he has caused or led to the arrest of 6 predators on the platform. Now, Schlepp received a cease and desist letter from Roblox earlier this month, which, considering the timing that Roblox had just recently released some new safety features and some new age verification, which they were, you know, proud of and were boasting of, that they were like industry leading in this age verification sense. And then you have the lawsuit that was filed by the Louisiana Attorney General, all at the same time of these other legal cases. It was really like the perfect storm for an internet uprising against Roblox. The hashtag Free Schlepp has been trending online, and you saw YouTubers and podcasters and other well-known predator or criminal sort of hunters. They've all joined this case against Roblox and are supporting Schlepp and his case against Roblox, saying, you know, don't ban me. I'm actually trying to expose the evil that is on your platform. Well, on August 15th, the Roblox founder and CEO, David Baszucki, along with his chief safety officer and director of public policy, released a video update on their safety initiatives. Now, I did watch all 43 painful minutes of this video. Their discussion, the CEO's discussion, elicited several concerns of mine, all of which I'm going to dive in deeper part 2 of the podcast, which will come out next week. There's just too much for me to get through all today. But in that video, to kind of tie it back into this banned YouTuber, they talk about this. They explain why they banned these, quote, vigilantes is what they call them. And these tech execs basically say that he violated their policies by creating an account with a child's birthday. Well, I would have technically violated the policies of every app when I go in to test an app and see if it's appropriate, what they're going to show me as a child. Like, this is a known thing that is done by people who are trying to protect children. You've got to go in and create an account as though you are a child to see what a child is going to be exposed to. So that's what he was doing. He put in a child's birth date. They said he violated the policy. And the fact that he was trying to elicit sexual conversations by talking to strangers, that he himself is just as bad as the predators. And I watched a YouTube video, and I'll link it in the show notes, that he defends himself and he shows the conversations directly that he's having where he says, you know, oh, you know, I'm too young. You may not want to talk to me or whatever. And what these predators, what these adults are saying to him, they have no idea that it's a 22-year-old YouTuber. They, you know, they think it's truly a, you know, 12-year-old girl or whatever he's pretending to be. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily defending this guy specifically, but it does seem like attacking and banning this YouTuber who's calling out predators on your platform just doesn't seem like the best move at this time and space. So the execs in this video just repeatedly tout how much they care so deeply about the safety of its users, which is just painful. It's painful to watch. They talk and say over and over again, safety and civility is their top priority. Again, I'll get into that, those two terms, safety and civility, a little bit next week. Needless to say, the response to this video did not go well, did not please the growing anti-Roblox community on the internet. And again, the reason why is pretty obvious. Roblox has been self-reporting cases of potential sexual exploitation for years. They know that this is a huge problem. They claimed in that video that they take every report given to them seriously. But what's interesting is in the case of Michael Schlepp, when he was groomed on the platform, his mother reached out to Roblox, I believe, several times and heard nothing back and saw no changes. I mean, this was 11 years ago that he was groomed on this platform. Imagine how many other parents have reported this to Roblox for years. years, and this company has done nothing. They allow all ages to enter the platform. Like, if you put in a birthday saying that you're 5, they're going to let you create an account. Any kid can do this. They just assume that you have an adult checking off that you agree to their terms of use. And that's crazy, right? Because we know that that's not what's happening. So they've all kids that enter onto this platform, and they know. They know that their largest population is 8 to 12 years old. And up until just this month, when they sort of released some of their new safety features because their hand was really forced, they allowed for direct connections with strangers. They could in direct messaging inside of these experiences, connections to other social platforms like Discord and Snap. You could put your accounts in there. So then predators could easily lead children off the platform of Roblox for further grooming and image sharing. I mean, not to mention, right, the platform is just like a free-for-all of creativity. Yes, I mean, there are maybe some benefits to that. But what's happened is, you know, the sinfulness of man, you put them on a platform and now you have this free creativity so that creators can build these experiences like bathroom simulators where they lure kids in to take their avatar's clothes off and sexually assault them. Yes, it's all happening in the virtual world, but we've got to realize that this still is affecting kids. Anyway, it's just really all so messed up, and it's been going on for a long time, and they've done nothing. For years, they've done absolutely nothing. They've just allowed the status quo of child exploitation to continue. So that's kind of a little bit of that update. Now, the question at hand is, will this internet outrage and all of these lawsuits lead to any massive change? Because the reality is Roblox is a multi-billion dollar platform. Like we said before, they have over 100 million daily users across the globe, and that makes them a lot of money. They are not going anywhere anytime soon, really, unless an act of God or an act of government forces them to. There's been, I think, I read online a trending maybe video or a post that was on X that said that Roblox was shutting down on September 1st, right? But that's obviously not true. Just kind of fake news to get people more up in a tizzy about Roblox and wishing that they were going away. But they're not. That's the reality. So the question really for parents, right, is this information that is going on, all of this stuff coming to light, is it enough to make parents realize that this platform is not safe and that really the way to stop them, to shut them down, is for us to stop allowing children to create accounts? Now, I certainly hope so. And I would actually love for that outrage to be seen and heard by Roblox executives so they do make more security and safety updates that actually does lead to a safer platform, because like I said, I don't think they're going away. I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket, because these tech executives like David Baszucki and just like Mark Zuckerberg of Meta and Evan Spiegel of Snapchat, they have all shown over and over and over again that they do not care about child safety. They talk the talk, but at the end of the day, the design of their platforms makes it ripe for exploitation. And they're not going to change their design, because their design is what makes them profit. So with that said, that's kind of like the briefing of what Roblox is and why Roblox has been in the news so much. So now we must understand the design of these type of platforms and how it really portends a positive worldview, even though it's not, right? Even if a company doesn't verbalize their worldview, the design of the platform will expose its beliefs. You just have to look deeper into it. In our biblical perspective of children and chatbots that we released, I think it was last week, and we talked about Angel Q. We talked about the techno-optimistic worldview that so many technologists and developers and these media companies have. And this worldview is where they believe that technological advancements are the primary driver of human progress, and that they will ultimately solve all, if not most, of humanity's problems. So that's the techno-optimistic worldview. They believe that technology not only is the future, but it is in a way salvific. It's going to solve our problems. So if you have a techno-optimistic worldview, the design of your platform then aims to drive human progress in a way that will lead to their envisioned utopia, right? Where we're not experiencing humanity's problems. Now, I know that most parents don't think about technology or media platforms from this framework, but it really is so important that we start, because everything is just going to continue to advance at such a rapid pace that we all need to be able to think about this on the spot, kind of in the moment, as we're navigating this with our kids, so we don't allow too much too soon. For many parents, and I totally get this, we look at convenience, or we look at our child's desire to fit in and kind of like hang out online with their friends. And it's easy. It's really easy to justify an app or a game or a social media platform because you trust your child. And because you know that you're going to be hyper-vigilant, that you're going to co-view, co-play, and you're going to be a stickler with those parental controls, right? And so you allow it. And to an extent, this is how my husband and I were back in like the late 2010s with video games. You know, we didn't allow social media platforms, but we had rationalized some video games because we were able to set parental controls and time limits. They were in a public space in our home, so we were co-viewing or co-playing. Nevertheless, video games became an all-consuming beast for a few of my children. And it wasn't necessarily because we allowed the wrong games or we allowed too much, but it's the design, right? The design of these games is working against any type of limit or parental control that you can set. Now, some kids are going to be more at risk, I think, to kind of getting addicted to certain platforms online than others. But honestly, I don't think you really know until it happens to your child. But what can we say about the design of Roblox? Because again, the design is so important. We have to think about how it's designed and what the goal is of their design. Well, Roblox design fits really the same addictive design and pattern as so many other gaming and social platforms. So let's look at a few of their design features and contrast them to what the biblical worldview teaches. Okay? So we're going to go through four design points, and then I'm just going to kind of counter them. And you may have heard me kind of give these biblical arguments before, but again, I want you to see that it applies to really every single app when we understand the worldview they're coming from. And again, Roblox is coming from a techno-optimistic worldview. Okay, so design point one. Roblox consists of an ever-evolving world that encourages users to explore, create, and discover. But we know that human childhood is about exploring, creating, and discovering, right? That's what's unique about human childhood, is that you're learning and discovering how things work, how humans communicate, learn, how they work, all of that. And human childhood, we know, is long because the process of teaching and learning and discipleship, well, it's conducted at a pace that the human brain obviously grows at that pace, and it allows children to learn and explore through play and relationships. What a child learns and discovers at 8 years old is very different than what a child is going to learn and discover at 17 years old, right? They can learn and discover the same thing at the same time, but we all know the 8-year-old is not going to have the same understanding if it's a more complex topic. In fact, they're going to have more confusion than anything. And that's kind of like this ever-changing world of Roblox. The progressive and constant changes of the platform, we think, oh, it's just instilling this ability to discover and create and explore. But really, it can destabilize kids at young ages because of the lack of predictability and the lack of foundation of anything that is constant, anything that is true, that is stable. We know scripture says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. And Isaiah 40, verse 8 says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And you'll see grass wither, flower fading inside these games, but not in the same season that you would experience in real life. It's kind of like, you know, a day in Minecraft or a day in like Roblox is not the same as a day in the real world. And so there's a complete imbalance of what those seasons even look like. Psalm 119:89 notes, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." This is what is the best and most solid foundation for children to learn and grow upon as they are going through childhood and adolescence. Being immersed into an ever-changing virtual world that they are constantly having to explore, create, and discover in, not only distracts them from the learning process in the real world, but it also, again, destabilizes them when they don't know what is constant and what is true. Kids don't need endless novelty. They need to know what is constant and stable as they grow up. And that is, of course, God's word. Okay, now let's talk about design point two of Roblox. They offer open communication to connect with friends, meet new people, and build communities within the game. Okay, so now we know that as image bearers of God, that's Genesis 1:27, we are created to live in relationship with others. In Genesis 2:18, the first thing that God saw in all of creation that was not good was man's isolation, right? He made everything, he called it good, then he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So God created another human in Eve for that relationship. And through Adam and Eve, God instituted the covenant of marriage, which then established the family, and in turn went on to establish communities. And those communities led to the establishment of his church. So human relationships are designed by God to be embodied, right? It is time spent face to face, living life together with others, whether that be family, whether that be friends, even if it is strangers that you meet, it is still embodied. That is the best type of relationship. And communication is a huge part of living in a relationship. We are instructed to use our words to build up. That's Ephesians 4:29, and to give grace to those who hear those words. At the same time, scripture also teaches that the tongue has the power of life and death. That's Proverbs 18:21. And that a perverse tongue crushes the spirit, Proverbs 15:4. While Jesus teaches in Matthew 12:34-36, that people will give an account for every careless word they speak. See, God has given us so much nonverbal communication as well as verbal communication, and that is only experienced embodied. Yes, we have the common grace of writing letters and emails and text messages and even FaceTime now. And that is a gift from God to have those abilities to communicate, to kind of overcome the time and space barriers that we are given on this earth. But that common grace, it isn't a biblical workaround that's going to displace those biblical teachings about spoken word, right? The common grace of being able to write letters or send text messages or FaceTime someone is not going to ever fully replace the original design for embodied relationships. But what Roblox has is disembodied relationships and lots of open and free communication with strangers without any nonverbal cues, without any really safety measure. And that communication, when you're disembodied, is not fulfilling the human purpose that God has intended relationships to be. So a lot of kids will want to be on Roblox because that's where their friends are. And Roblox knows this. They go to great efforts for people to invite their friends to be in that same space so that you're hanging out online in the game instead of hanging out in person. But again, the studies, the research, everything that is coming out that we know 5 years past COVID, this has not been good for young people. All right, let's move on to design point three. And that is that Roblox offers endless experiences. Everything from virtual concerts, racing, shopping, role-playing, adventure, all available instantly with no waiting, no limits. A child never has to be bored. Okay, but we know that is not how real life works. God designed humans to be bound by time and space. Right. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us that for everything, there is a time and a season. And that literally means we are bound by time and seasons, you know, and our experiences are also bound by those time and seasons. Some experiences that we have in life are joyful. Sometimes they're painful. Other times they are just plain boring. We can go through a very long, very hard season of maybe being lonely or maybe being bored or maybe being, you know, tired of whatever it is that we're doing. And that is part of life. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, and I love this, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. It's Ecclesiastes 7:14. It's one to memorize and repeat back to your kids when they are going through hard times, because God creates both the good times and the bad times. That is what real life experiences are about. I also love how Abraham Kuyper describes this. He says, quote, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry mine. Right? Means every experience we have in our human life, in our human existence, the good, the bad, and the boring are all under God's sovereignty. He is sovereign over all of it because he wants to work in us and through us to grow our character, to develop who we are, make us more like Christ. Even if you are not a Christ follower, he is still working through good times and hard times and boring times to develop perseverance, character, and the necessary skills for just survival. And it's so critical for children to learn to embrace every life experience as being from God's hand so that they can grow in character, grow in wisdom, and of course, grow their faith. No child is going to endure reality if they do not learn to persevere because they are too busy experiencing every futile escape on a Roblox, right? That is not real life experiences. But when you are introduced to these, quote, experiences when you're young, you can believe that that is what real life is. And it's always meant to be entertaining. It's always meant to have your friends always available, something new, novel. That is not real life. All right, design point four. Roblox is built for addiction with variable rewards and the Robux economy built into the game design. Users can spend real money on digital currency to dress their avatar in unique ways or use that currency to level up, unlock new items, or access certain experiences. There are also leaderboards, loot boxes, badges, and achievement rewards, everything that you can imagine to drive progressive engagement. Now, that pretty much just stands on its own. As a parent, you know, yes, we know that all of those features inside of a game is addictive, but why is that bad? Why is that going against the biblical worldview? Well, in scripture, we know that God created us to desire him above all else. We can see that in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. In Matthew 6:33 in the New Testament, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So our desires are to be rightly ordered towards worship. In reality, in our everyday real life, we are to be ordered towards worship first, not digital rewards in a virtual world, right? These two stand in such stark contrast when we consider the ordered desires of our heart. Now, addiction in scripture, they don't call it addiction. It's pretty much referred to as enslavement. And scripture is very clear that whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. 2 Peter 2:19. And we are not called to be slaves to sin, but to be free in Christ, Galatians 5:1. And of course, maybe you know Romans 12:2. We are not to be conformed to the patterns of the world. That means also the patterns, the addictive patterns of video games. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is God's word. Let me be clear. There is nothing endearing, redeeming, or like funny or cute about someone being addicted to a video game or a media platform, especially children who are learning how to be human in this world that God has placed them in. I sometimes hear parents laugh like, oh yeah, they're totally addicted to Roblox. That is a serious concern because especially as we're going to get into next week's podcast, not only is their worldview antithetical to the biblical worldview, but their vision and their goal for the future of Roblox is so disturbing and unsettling that it can really lead a young child completely astray. Like they may never rejoin reality as we know it and live the life that God intends them to if they buy into all the lies that Roblox is teaching. So the design really matters. It matters immensely. And you can find websites galore. Roblox themselves will teach you how to make the games addictive in order to keep engagement going. Roblox offers rewards to creators, you know, for how much engagement they have. There's no hiding this fact that they want it to be addictive. They want you to stay in the game, on the platform, experiencing things. Now, the design also reveals aspects of the worldview built into the platform. For Roblox, of course, as we said, it is this techno-optimism. Their design is such that it's offering a virtual experience, offering constant communication in virtual communities in a psychologically manipulative way that breeds addiction. And they're going to claim it's not for our profits. They actually come out and say that this is really for your benefit, for the benefit of the user, because it is safer and happier on the platform than compared to real life. That is honestly what they believe, and I'm going to unpack that all next week. But they believe that it is for your benefit to stay on the platform, to not leave the platform, to have all of your experiences in the platform, to have all of your communication on the platform, to do your shopping, to listen to music, everything they believe is truly better for the human experience to be in the virtual world. So it's, again, not hard to conclude that not only is that antithetical to the biblical worldview, but it's dangerous for children. It is dangerous for children. You can't change and displace the way God created humans to live and believe that you can fulfill all of human purposes in the virtual world. It's just impossible. But like I said, Roblox is not just kind of revealing their worldview through their design. They're just coming right out and saying it. They are literally saying the quiet part out loud. You need to stay on the platform because it is safer and happier here. And maybe people think that that makes them brave, but they vision and they express this vision that you are to live inside of Roblox. Your entire life should be Roblox. And I wish I was being hyperbolic about that, but I'm not. So you do not want to mix this the next episode because I spent a lot of time reading pretty much every word released by Roblox on their blog, through articles and interviews. And I'm going to distill to you their false gospel because that's really what it is. They're really so deceived. And in a way, it makes me very sad. It makes me sad for all the people who they are deceiving and for them as well. But as I said before, it's not just Roblox who's promoting this techno-optimistic worldview of the future. I mean, I can break down all of their information because they're saying the quiet part out loud, but it is a lot of big tech. And it's all of them want you to live inside their platform. They want you to never disengage. They want you to be on it all the time. But look around. Most people are happier when they are disengaged, when they are engaged in real life. So we can't believe this lie. And so tune in next week. I'm going to break it all down for you with lots of quotes and examples of exactly how Roblox is deceiving all young people and all people on the platform with a false gospel and a false hope. So that's all we have time for today. I really encourage you to share this with anybody who maybe has a kid on Roblox, and I'm gonna have some resources then I'm going to announce after next week's episode that you'll be able to get to help talk to kids about why you're maybe saying no to Roblox, why you're going to kind of pull the plug, or why you're never going to allow Roblox, and help your kids get behind that decision. Maybe because their peers are going to want them to be on it and they're going to feel a little like they're missing out. So some talking points and all that. So share this with a friend. Make sure they know what's really going on with Roblox. And then tune in back next week with Roblox Part 2, The False Gospel Experience. All right, friends, that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, go and be brave.